Welcome to the Government Technology Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Langan. By putting mobility first, the Department of War is redefining how it trains, plans, and operates. In this episode of the Government Technology Insider Podcast, we explore how a mobile-first approach is transforming military readiness and efficiency, enabling full desktop capabilities through secure, portable devices. And in part two of this two-part series, Brian Shromsky, who's the managing partner for 5G public sector for Verizon, and Todd Maxwell, who's the director of regulated business development for Samsung Electronics America, share how AI is being used on mobile devices to enhance situational awareness and decision-making in the field. We'll also explore how wearables and IoT technologies are expanding the mobile ecosystem and improving the user experience for service members on the ground. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Brian and Todd, welcome back. Great to have you back on again.
Thanks again, Matt.
Thank you.
All right, great. So how is AI being used on mobile devices to improve situational awareness, automate tasks, or even enhance decision-making in the field? And we'll go with Todd on this one.
So we launched Scoutsy AI several years ago. We've been doing a lot of research on it. And one thing that we found that was sort of funny is we launched it, and the first thing military and the federal government asked us is, how do we turn it off? How do we control it? How do we manage it? Because we don't want this cloud-based technology. Well, to mitigate that, we told them two things. One, the AI can be run on the device. It's on device only for certain things, like being able to do live translation or transcribing or interpretation or chat assist or other things, right? It can all be done on device without any cloud connectivity. You just download the language profiles and then you're good to go. Second thing is we can manage that through our Knox Manage services. So we can manage different features or turn off these AI features. So once we're able to address the on-device utilization, even in a disconnected mode, and the management capabilities to turn it off with their NDM or utilizing Knox Manage, then we could start looking at the different use cases out there and start looking at potential safety and monitoring using wearables and the biometric because of all the data that's being captured. Looking at the continuous multi-factor authentication of you are who you are, and then looking at some of the different AI tools that could simply solve some of their problems. When we're talking several investigatory agencies, being able to have AI for low light capture of evidence out in the field or identification of individuals, or maybe you come across a group of individuals and you might be trained in one or two languages, but they're speaking a language you don't know. Being able to do that live, translate or transcribe, or doing some interviews out in the field and being able to identify each speaker there and transcribe it, and put it all to paper and then do a summary of it that you could then add to your notes or narratives later on. So some quick tools that we're starting to see, and we're starting to push some of these boundaries into even situational awareness, where they're utilizing different tools out there in partnerships to be able to drop a point here, create a polygon, or send this message, or do that. So you become more hands-free. So as we evolve, it gives, again, when I was talking about earlier, we're trying to create this efficiency and not add more tools, but reduce tools and create something that helps them do the jobs so they can focus on the mission at hand instead of on the tools in their tool belt.
Great. So what role do wearables and IoT devices play in this mobile ecosystem, from health monitoring to operational awareness, really? And we'll start with Todd on this one.
Great. So that's a great question. We just launched our health and human performance program at Samsung, and we launched it across all of the regulated verticals. And it was very interesting because we had healthcare and federal and public sector, but there was a common thing that was out there, right? We wanted to use some sort of IoT platform, in our cases, wearables or rings, to monitor safety, efficiency, and optimization of training, right? Those are sort of the core three things we wanted to do. And the safety could be anything from you're in a hospital and you're doing remote care, so think of VA, or it could be something as monitoring somebody that got injured on the battlefield and being able to take those biometrics captured on the device, send them to the medic, and then send them out to an agency that they would be transferred to, the hospital, and capturing all that en route so you could see any changes in that biometric data. Could be during the training for an operation where you are trying to simulate the training environments and then see how your body performs those environments. It could be helping identify biometric issues during training, heart anomaly or different things that might have happened, dehydration or other things. So it's really about trying to enhance safety and efficiency by providing this biometric data and then tying in some of the AI features, even down to the wearable on the device. And when you combine that with the unique ability we have with freestanding mode, now we can capture this data directly on the device. We don't have to have it tied to a phone. So you could have a competitor or somebody else's phone, but you still have a standalone wearable device that you can have all this data and then transcribed or sent to the cloud or paired up with your mobile end unit. So it gives you a lot of options and flexibility to capture that data and really enhance and provide that safety you might need.
All right, great. Thanks, Todd. Brian, anything to add to this one?
I mean, just building off what Todd just mentioned here, right? We know from the Secretary of War, there's a big push for actually physical fitness, right? So the basic obvious ones here that Todd mentioned, right? That we have individuals that are, you know, conducting healthy lifestyles, right? And I think this is an area that the military branches will take a more active role, obviously coming from the top. So the ability to actually, you know, monitor in real time, securely transmit that data in real time. And, you know, we even do it in Verizon here internally, right? It's open enrollment season where you just finished ourselves. But there's a lot of initiatives to be more healthy, be more active, make sure you're getting standing and make sure you're walking, right? So that's the basic stuff, right? But when you look at operational awareness, right? You know, one of the things that I think gets lost in the shuffle, artificial intelligence is great, but it needs access to data, right? So if it can't get access to data, this is why you're going to see a huge proliferation of IoT coming, building on upon the success it's already had, because it needs that data, right? If it wants to do things like, hey, there's a malfunctioning sump pump in one of the base office buildings, right? That could be a serious problem, right? That could actually report flooding. It could actually affect infrastructure into the building. It could be a large facility, right? And then all of a sudden you have 1,000 people that are out in the parking lot. What are they supposed to do, right? And it actually bridges the gap in a lot of cases, right? And what I mean by that, so when we talk about things like TDM and copper and POTS lines, right, which are going away, the military, and I've been advocating for this, they don't need a special ATO. They have the security posture. They have the contracts in place. They can use a lot of mobile connectivity and things like fixed wireless access coupled with 5G that gives the ability to the base to actually bridge the digital divide and actually enable them digital transformation, right? So you think about all of the facilities, right? Water, gas, electric, you know, the elevators don't work. The escalator doesn't work, right? The door has a problem, right? All those little things, because these military installations are small cities and they have the day-to-day problems and the services needs from those particular constituents inside that base, right? So it doesn't necessarily always have to be the warfighter, right? It can be these soft things that you don't realize and you take for granted, right? On top of all what the warfighter needs happen, but just imagining a large port, right? And all the different logistical needs and that are needed to ensure a quick turnaround for a ship comes into port, right? Or if it's maintenance. That is what we talk about when we talk about IoT. It's actually generating business outcomes. I know that's going to sound a little weird here talking about for the DoD in particular, but we actually are looking to provide business outcomes by adopting this technology. What is the end result to do this, right? Is it the bridging the gap from legacy technology to new technology and meeting that cost point? Is it fundamentally changing the health and wellness of our men and women in uniform? Obviously, the answer is yes. And then more importantly, do we make sure that these men and women that are so proudly served have the latest and greatest information so they can make those decisions, right? And that's where AI and the power in the palm of your hand, that I can have all that data, right? It's really powerful and it's only going to grow. And we've seen that by the numbers, just the amount of data. And you can see the huge push in this country around power demand, water demand, right? Data center demand, right? It is to meet the need that will be generated first in the palm of your hand, which is mind-boggling to imagine, but it is only going to get bigger. I've been in this business, I've been with this great firm for 25 years, and I am always amazed. Every time we think the bar is set, it only increases, which is very exciting. Keeps us on our toes, if you will, Matt.
All right, great. So really, ultimately, how does the mobile-first approach improve the user experience for soldiers or service members on the ground? And we'll start with Brian on this one.
Matt, I talked about it a little couple times already here, but if I had to sum it up, and I'll use the pandemic as an example, right, where we had a lot of military personnel work, live, and conduct all their business from their home, right? And when they did that, it was a mobile-first strategy, right? We saw adoption from different branches, different departments, different agencies under the DOD that were reluctant to go to a mobile-first strategy. But unfortunately, with the pandemic, it actually forced, it actually challenged some of the norms, if you will. And more importantly, it actually required legislation and actually fundamental changes in how they conduct work to actually enable this, right? That's a huge fundamental shift, right, that I think we just glance over. But by doing so, that has set the expectation on how an individual is going to work, live, and play, and serve this great country. Right. And by doing so, it's actually forced and pushed the envelope to go beyond that. Right. So when you talk about, 5G technology, probably the early innings, if you will, during the pandemic, we're in the middle innings, if you will. We're already planning for 6G. Imagine that. But with that dynamic, what people expect, the immediacy of information they expect to make decisions on a battlefield, or for instance, day-to-day office operations, or just facilities on a military installation, they expect that immediacy, right? And we're in a perfect storm, which I think is a very good thing for us, where we have great partners like Samsung that are making iconic devices, incorporating next generation chipsets, understand security from a supply chain, having resilience to actually meet the demand, but also working with the customer that are always willing to do something to actually add security or better operational experience from a mobile device, which is awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Brian. Todd, any thoughts on this one?
I think Brian covered a lot of ground in his response. I thought it was really great. I think, for us from an endpoint user experience, we're really trying to solve for security and efficiency and safety, right? Those are the three things we're focused on. And if we can utilize that mobility to provide efficiency, like instead of having to carry lots of extra gear, you could carry your mobile device and then you're out and deployed and you have a disposable monitor and keyboard and you do your mission planning with Samsung Dex right to that using ATAC or whatever situational awareness tool you're using and do your mission planning for your entire team and then you deploy. And having that one device be that tool for you and then being able to tie in some of these other IoT or endpoints to capture security or situational awareness or even that efficiency. Having a wearable that monitors some of that safety protocol. So if any injury or anything happens, you have some of that data getting back. So really for us, we're focused on those three things and want to keep improving those with our valuable partners.
Thank you, Brian and Todd, for joining us today. And big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you're interested in staying up to date on the latest best practices, lessons learned, and proven strategies for leveraging innovative technologies in federal, state, and local government, be sure to visit us at governmenttechnologyinsider.com. I've been your host, Matt Langan, and until next time, so long.